and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. We've been looking for several Sunday evenings now at the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, looking to see how an older preacher writes to two younger preachers on how Ephesus and Crete can maintain, develop and maintain the church as it should be. He writes to Timothy at Ephesus. He writes to Titus at Crete. Throughout these three books, four times, Paul says the phrase, "Now this is a faithful saying." Four times he utters that phrase, and then there's something that's very basic to the Bible principles, but yet it's something that's very important. So this evening, as a way to look back over the three chapters, the three books that we've covered in the past several Sunday evenings, let's look back at these four statements, and let's make sure that we grasp those. Let's make sure that those are true in our life, because most definitely these are part of the basics. These are the faithful sayings. The things that I'm sure that he's saying to the young preachers, as he's saying, young preachers, those are things you can take into the pulpit with you often. Those are the things that you need to be reminding your people of daily. Those are things that you need to be teaching and maintaining in your own life on a daily basis. Now please also realize, just for background's sake, it is believed that these four faithful sayings were probably once songs. They were songs that the spiritual people chanted. You know how we oftentimes have phrases that we've heard so often that we confuse ourselves as to whether or not they're in the Bible or whether or not we've just heard them often? For example, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible's silent. What's the book, chapter, and verse for that? It's not in the Bible. That's one of those, we might say, faithful sayings. You know, Campbell made famous the statement, in find unity in matters of doctrine, find loyalty in matters of opinion, and find love in all. Now, several years ago, that would have been known as one of those faithful sayings. And there probably would have even been those to say, now, I think that's in the Bible. But it's not. But it is interesting that these four sayings that we'll look at this evening are sayings that not only were faithful, but Paul chose to relate those to the young preachers and include them into God's Word and to make them a part of the inspired writings that make up the Word of God. Notice with me, if you will, the first one. 1 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 15. He says to Timothy, now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How easy it is to forget this simple statement. How easy it is to forget that Christ came into the world to save sinners. You see, for many of us here this evening, you may have been associated with the church. You may have been a Christian. You may have at least attended all of your life and been a Christian for much of your life. And you see, it's easy to fall into the line of thinking, well, I am righteous. And then we look over to the left or the right and we see someone that is very sinful, and instead of having a great compassion on that sinner, we forget that we too are sinners. We need to remember that Christ came to this world for sinners. That's you and that's me. You see, if we forget that simple point, we're going to make this a haven for saints instead of a hospital for sinners. And I think we need desperately to make sure that the church here at East Gadsden is always an open door for sinners. Because that's what we all are. Now yes, we do have righteousness. Not by our own sake, but by God's sake. But let us not forget where we came from. You know, it's the same line of thinking that Paul wanted to remind Titus of. If you look over in the third chapter, just a few pages over, in Titus, the third chapter in verse 2, this is what he encourages the brethren to be. He says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, brethren, if we broke those down and looked at those in detail tonight, every one of us would walk out of here saying, now, those are some hard things to do. It's hard to never speak evil of any men. It's hard to always be gentle, to always be kind, to always show the love of Christ. That's a challenge. And you know what Titus said Paul said to Titus immediately after that verse? He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and evil, hateful and hating one another. Paul, what are you telling Titus? I'm telling him to challenge the brethren to be righteous, but always remind the brethren they came from a wicked background. So have patience while working with those that are still involved in that. Yes, if we forget that Christ came to the world to save sinners, we forget a very important thing. Can you imagine John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever is perfect shall have everlasting life. Can you imagine it reading that way? Brethren, there's not a soul here that would enter into heaven if this great and faithful saying was any different. Does that ring clear in your mind? Can I repeat it one more time? If this great and faithful saying was any different, if Christ did not come to the world to save sinners, every soul here would be condemned. Praise God that we can have salvation. Praise God that Jesus Christ came for sinners, for us. There's another faithful saying in 1 Timothy the 4th chapter. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy the 4th chapter and verse 8. The second faithful saying. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations. What does he mean by the bodily exercise availeth little, it profiteth little? Is that to say, okay, there it is. No one needs to exercise. No one needs to watch their diet. No one needs to worry about whether or not they're keeping the holy temple of God pure, because here Paul says that the body just doesn't matter. No, Paul is not by any means undermining other scriptures that emphasize the importance of maintaining a healthy body. I think what Paul wants us to realize here is, where is our emphasis? Is our greatest emphasis on physical things, or is our greatest emphasis on spiritual things? Look with me, if you will, to Luke the 12th chapter. In Luke the 12th chapter, we have a few verses here that really give us something to think about. And gives us much more than something just to think about, but it challenges our faith. Luke the 12th chapter, verse 4, Jesus says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body." Now, Jesus, did I read that right? "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, and I say unto you, fear him." You see, this faithful saying that Paul makes as his second faithful saying into the inspired books here in 1st and 2nd Timothy, the principle behind it is not original to Paul. It's original to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, don't worry about those that can harm the body. Physical things aren't more important than those that can harm the body and the soul. But you see, that's difficult. I can see why Paul would write to the young preacher and say, remind the brethren often. Make it a faithful saying. Make it one worthy of all acceptation. Make everyone realize that, yes, spiritual things are more important than the physical things. Do you think you struggle with that? Do you worry about, before you leave the house in the morning, what clothing you have on? Would you be just as comfortable going into work or to Walmart in whatever you slept in? Do you always comb your hair? brush your teeth probably. Make sure that your physical appearance is right. You see, the world that we live in concentrates on physical things. When's the last time you filled out any kind of application for health insurance? The 2,500 questions they ask on there about every surgery that's possible and if you had ever had it at least once in your life is all about physical things. Nowhere on that application do they say, how's your soul? Where do you attend church? Turn on the TV. America is crazy about sports. What is sports? It's seeing men and women competing physically against another team. You see, the fact is, because we are physical beings, we live in a world that almost 100% concentrates on physical things. So no wonder the older preacher says to the younger preacher, you challenge your people to think about spiritual things more than physical things. Now, brethren, that's hard. That's hard, but that's the challenge that is before us. When we look over to Philippians, the fourth chapter, perhaps if we could meditate upon things like this, it would help us to be more godly, because the godliness helps us to be better in all, he says. Here in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. None of those things really are physical things. Almost all of the things in that list are talking about spiritual virtues. We turn back just a few pages to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we see there the list of things that deal with the flesh. Many of those things deal with the physical man, and it's sins that we commit because we're more concerned with the physical man than the spiritual man. And then finally, in Galatians 5:22, we have, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the spiritual things that we should put more concentration upon those than upon the physical things in life. Again, I suggest to you, that's a big task. That's something we have to take seriously. But that's just one of the four faithful sayings that he encourages us to endure. Turn with me, if you will, now to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 11. The third faithful saying. He says in verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we be dead with Him, we shall live with Him. A faithful saying that is probably best described to us when we look into Romans, the sixth chapter. In Romans, the sixth chapter, we see a verse that seems like it would be a contradiction to this. In Romans, the sixth chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, sin equals death. Now, when Paul writes and says it's a faithful saying that if we die with Him, we shall live with Him, is Paul speaking of this same death? Is he saying that if you and I go out and sin and we die spiritually, does that mean then that we're ready to live for Jesus? No. You see, here is a spiritual death equals sin. What Paul is striving to encourage Timothy, to exhort to his people, is not a spiritual death. It's the death that's described earlier in Romans, the sixth chapter. In Romans, the sixth chapter, in verse 6, this is the death he's speaking of. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, speaking of Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So here the faithful saying is, just as Jesus Christ took the sins of the world and was crucified to that cross, every one of us that wants to obey the gospel of Christ must take the sin in our life, that old man of sin, as Romans 6 speaks of it, crucify the old man of sin. be buried just as Christ was buried in a grave, be buried in the watery grave of baptism, and rise to walk a new life. So now we have the crucifixion of the old man of sin, which is death. Then we are ready to live with Him. Brethren, these are powerful, faithful statements. Statements that if we dwell upon them, if we meditate upon them, if we study upon them, we see that they're very basic, but yet very, very important. It's amazing to me as I study the Psalms, how even though the psalmist did not have the New Testament, of course, he had so much faith in God looking after him. Have you ever thought about that? How much faith would you have in God giving you an everlasting home? But you remember the 23rd Psalm. His very last verse is, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, even though the psalmist did not have the New Testament, he knew what it was to give your life to God by faith and to live with God. Brethren, tonight we need to make sure that we know what it means to crucify the old man of sin and then to have a faith that lives with God on this earth and a faith that says, yes, there is a heaven and an eternal life. Notice with me also our final passage this evening in Titus, the third chapter. In Titus, the third chapter, we see the last final statement that he calls a very faithful statement. This is a faithful saying in verse 8 of the third chapter of Titus, "And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You may be careful to maintain good works." Now, I imagine if we took a poll this evening, a written poll, and I asked you, "Are you a quitter?" I just would think that probably 80, 90% of you will say, "Oh no, I'm not a quitter. That's one thing I never was and I never will be. I'm not a quitter." Brethren, I challenge your thinking this evening to that. You see, there's too many passages in the Bible that encourage us not to quit if quitting was not a problem. Here, his simple, faithful statement, if we broke it down, it's simply, maintain good works. Well, Paul, why is that such a faithful statement? Because brethren suffer with it. You see, our society says, there's always a time to stop. That's what we call retirement. That's what we call vacation. That's what we call weekends. That's what we call quitting time at 3:30, 4:30, 5 o'clock. You see, the truth is, for us to say we're not quitters, we're fooling ourselves. We are quitters. Every one of us, after we've been doing anything for a certain amount of time, we want to stop. Even if it's something pleasurable, we want to stop. We want to do something else. We grow weary in doing the same thing. And here, all throughout the Pauline epistles, he encourages those. Remember at the very end of Galatians, what was his encouragement? "Grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Paul, why would you put that there? Because mankind has a problem with quitting. Here, writing to Titus, maintain good works. Brethren, it doesn't matter how much you believe in the work, and it doesn't matter how dedicated you are to the work, there's going to be a time that you'll think about quitting. There's going to be a time when you at least will be tempted to quit. I challenge you this evening to remember the faithful statement, the faithful saying that's worthy of all acceptation. Maintain good works. If it's good, don't grow weary and faint, because there's a day coming when you'll stand before the Almighty God and you will be ever so thankful that you didn't faint. There was a faithful saying that said Jesus came to save sinners. There was a faithful statement that said, don't be so concerned with physical things. be concerned with spiritual things. There was a faithful statement that said, crucify the old man of sin and live with Jesus Christ. There was a faithful statement that said, maintain good works. Brethren, those are four things that anyone can use tonight as you examine your life. Do you look at the third statement and realize that you never have crucified the old man of sin? You realize that you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you've never been baptized to wash away those sins. Therefore, you're not living a new life with Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than that life with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more rewarding on this earth or in the life to come. Maybe you hear this lesson tonight. Maybe you've been doing some studying and praying in the past and you realize that even though you've become a Christian, you're not what you should be. You haven't been keeping the doctrines that you know to be true. You haven't been maintaining good works. Brethren, don't stumble any longer. Don't cause others to stumble. We want to pray with you and for you. We want to help you in any way. If we can, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.